been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday 9/11 edition of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, we had, now we're going positive again, okay? We went positive, then we went negative on the NASDAQ, and now we're positive again. So we've already had a whole lot of volatility in the first 36 minutes of the market. The last message I sent out to my followers and subscribers yesterday was the NASDAQ gave up the ghost late in the day yesterday, holding on to important support levels. Look for a volatile day tomorrow, today, Friday. Well, if the first 37 minutes is any indication, we've already got volatility, but we are to the upside right now. With the Dow up 134 to 27,666. The NASDAQ up 21 to 10,939. We lost that 11,000 mark once again. You've got, crude oil is down today. Crude oil down a few cents here. Crude oil is down 15 cents to 37.15. The S&P 500 is up 11 right now to 33.50. Silver down 13 cents right now. Silver sitting at $27.21. Gold is down $2.40, 1962. Gold has definitely firmed up this past week, and I would say the bond market has weakened, and now it's firming up today. You're down 8 basis points today on the 10-year to 0.68. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, as we enter into what can be Freaky Friday territory. I said my last missive last night, as I finished my day of work, I sent my last comments about the market. I said, you know, the market yesterday was having a pretty good day. In fact, a real good day. And then the COVID stimulus package fell apart once again. Now it doesn't look like there will be a package before the elections, which shouldn't come as any surprise. I didn't think that the Democrats were going to give an inch on any kind of stimulus package to stimulate the economy before the election. There's a lot going on right now in politics, if you haven't noticed. And it doesn't surprise me that they didn't come to any kind of agreement yesterday. And when that news was announced, the market really went south and gave up all its gains for the day, and then quite a bit more. And the NASDAQ ended down 200 points. And I noted that a lot of the important NASDAQ stocks sitting on 50-day moving averages or important support levels that I have drawn. At my last message of the day yesterday, I said, you know, you got a lot of stocks sitting right on support level. You had a huge turnaround in the market yesterday to the downside. Look for some volatility on Friday. And we're getting that so far. NASDAQ is now down 6 points, okay? We were just up 22. We were up 40 at one time. Now we're down 6 points. So we are getting the volatility that I expected today. Well, there were some standouts yesterday in the market as I took my daily trip through the tributaries and the currents and the whitewater and the rapids and the riffles and the waterfalls and all the rest. Some of the stocks that stood out to me yesterday, I liked the action in Penn. Penn is Pennsylvania Gaming, Penn Gaming. Penn National Gaming. Penn has a competitor to DraftKings, which DraftKings was also strong yesterday. Penn got an upgrade. You had football, NFL season opened last night, I guess. Yeah, I guess. I didn't watch it, but it opened. Kansas City won, as expected. And that's giving a little bit of a boost to Penn and also DraftKings. Really good action yesterday in Restoration Hardware, RH, which had just a knockout out of the park kind of earnings report yesterday. I like the action in Redfin. And I guess I read later in the day or this morning that the Motley Fool has come out with a big buy rating on Redfin. Of course, Redfin is a disruptor. There's no question about it. Both Redfin and Zillow, both big, big disruptors in the real estate sector. Who are they disrupting? Well, Century 21 filed for bankruptcy today. So some of your traditional models in the real estate industry, probably victims. I'm sure COVID-19 didn't help Century 21, but I'm sure Zillow and Redfin also took a big bite out of Century 21. Other stocks that stood out to me yesterday, Fiverr had a very good day yesterday, and it's breaking out to new highs today. You always like to own stocks that are breaking out to new highs, and we do own Fiverr, give me five, FVRR, very good day yesterday. Nautilus had a good day yesterday. And, of course, after the close last night, Peloton, which we'll talk about a little bit later, knocked the ball out of the park with their earnings and their sales growth. So I suppose you could say that that Nautilus is kind of in that same sector, benefiting from COVID. Biotechs were very weak yesterday. They continue to be weak, which kind of indicates to me a little bit of a risk-off move by some of the traders. You're also seeing a little bit of risk-off in the so-called work-from-home stocks, the darlings of the NASDAQ, etc. And one other one, which I may make my featured stock of the day, so we'll save that for later on. Netflix, very weak yesterday. We'll talk about Netflix and what's happening to them in today's, actually the news yesterday, and the stock not doing very well after that news. Anyways, the NASDAQ down 2% yesterday when all was said and done. The Dow was down 14, not happy. When the market doesn't get its stimulus, it's like one of your coworkers, I guess, that drinks coffee, not getting his or her coffee in the morning. That's the mood of the market. That was the mood of the market yesterday. Okay, on the economic calendar today, the CPI index, we got the CPI. It did come in hotter than expected. The PPI came in hotter than expected earlier this week. Normally, you would see bigger sell-offs in the market. But the Fed has recently did an about-face on inflation. And they're just not going to be as keenly hypersensitive to rising interest rates. Europe did pretty good overnight. The UK recovery continues. Their economy in the UK grew by 6.6% in July. That's really good. And they signed their first post-Brexit trade deal. They signed that with Japan. So now the UK, not any longer a member of the European Union, signing their own trade deals, and they finally get one done with Japan. The hardest one to get done is with the European Union. I don't know. It's kind of like don't let the door hit you on the way out. We'll see if they ever get any kind of a deal, trade deal, with the European Union. Core CPI doubles expectations, rising 0.4% in August We're still running at an annual rate of 1.7, however. But if you were to extrapolate that 0.4 out that we had over the past month, that would put inflation up to around 4 or 5%. I think more likely scenario there is we just had a month that was kind of out of whack. But inflation definitely is coming back, heating up just a little bit here. All right, when we come back, a big update here, some analysis of the elections here coming from a big Wall Street firm, see what they have to say about that, and some new GDP estimates coming up for Q3. How are we doing? Are we coming back? This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. I was just looking at the chart of the NASDAQ, and there is something very, very important that I noticed here. The NASDAQ crossed above its 50-day moving average back on April 14th of this year. Of course, it bottomed about a month before that. And then it crossed over its 50-day moving average, which is a pretty strong technical buy signal, all right? The reason I bring this up, it's been there now for 5 months, okay, above that 50-day moving average. And for the first time since it crossed over that 50-day, it's threatening to violate its 50-day moving average. That's why I've been saying this past week, the NASDAQ so far is holding on to key support. And I would say that key support level from a technical point of view is at that 10,900 level. That's where the 50-day moving average resides. And right now we're at 10,967. So we seem to be holding that 50-day moving average for now. You could even go down to, actually the 50-day moving average looks to me like it's right. Yeah, about 10,900, okay? 10,900. We've got maybe 10,800, somewhere in that neighborhood. And we're holding that so far. But a violation of the 50-day moving average, oh, I wouldn't sell everything if that were to happen. But it would definitely have me look at some of my weaker stocks. I have a few stocks that are threatening to break their 50-day moving average. I think the momentum kind of disappeared from the market the day it went through 12,000. You know, the NASDAQ never looked back from 6,600 to 12,000 from March until September, 6 months of just almost up every day. It was an incredible run in the NASDAQ. And I kept saying, you know, this isn't going to last forever. All right. Don't get too complacent here. There's a lot of stocks out there that are trading on fumes right now as it relates to valuations. And I think the day a week ago, Wednesday, when the NASDAQ went through 12,000, I think that was the kind of the end of this big momentum part of the move that the NASDAQ made. And where does the air come out of the tires first? Well, in the most elevated stocks, the ones that have the most helium in them, they start leaking and start coming back down to earth a little bit. And that's kind of the phase we're in right now in the NASDAQ. On the one hand, it's creating some buying opportunities. And on the other hand, I think it's also telling investors to be very, very wary of those very high multiple previous high-flying stocks. I would not go running back into those stocks. And I guess, you know, you get tired of me saying it, but it's true. This is really now a stock picker's market with an emphasis on solid valuations, as opposed to just taking the next hot stock that they're buying on Robinhood and riding it up to infinity and beyond. That doesn't happen. There's no such thing. Eventually, the high flyers start coming back. Reversion to the mean would be one way of looking at it, but valuation also plays a big part. It's got to come back to a reasonable PEG ratio, a reasonable forward PE, a reasonable PE ratio. Because there was about 10 to 15 really, 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 really stretched stocks, and those stocks right now are coming back to earth. Okay, here we go. A lot of news today. Russia, China, and Iran are targeting U.S. elections, says Microsoft. Now, I'm just a guy who tries to apply common sense to situations. As I think through it, who do you think China wants to win the presidential election? Who do you think Iran wants to win the presidential election? I don't think there's any question there. It was Trump that ripped up the nuclear deal. Trump's been pretty hard on China with trade. And I honestly don't think that Russia's any friend of Trump, because Russia's number one thing for their economy is oil. 80% of their economy is oil. I would think that Russia would rather have an anti-oil fracking candidate win the election than seeing Trump. So Russia, China, Iran are targeting U.S. elections, says Microsoft. The question is, who do they want to win? And I'm just trying to apply a little bit of common sense to the situation and say, I would think that they would really want a Biden-Harris ticket to win the election. It's better for business in China. It's better for business in Iran. And it's better for business in Russia. Their business is oil. Oil, oil, oil. Okay, Goldman boosts their Q3 GDP. Get this, the quarter that we're now in, this is the highest GDP estimate yet on the street, and I'm with Goldman Sachs. I believe it's going to be a barn burner. They're lifting their Q3 GDP forecast to 35% growth from 30%. Well, that would be a huge number. That's also a factor in the elections. If Donald Trump were to get a huge GDP number, falling unemployment numbers, rising profits in corporate America, a stock market that's still doing well, that would be a big plus for him. Job creation, etc., the unemployment or the jobless claims going down. Conversely, if the economy starts going the other way, that would be bad for him. Talk about tough on China. Trump says there will be no extension of the TikTok deadline. The clock is ticking on the TikTok deadline. It will either be closed or they will sell it. And I mentioned a couple of weeks ago why this is such a big deal, because 100 million Americans are on TikTok. Suitors right now include Oracle, a team of Microsoft and Walmart, and probably a few other players out there trying to scoop up TikTok. But something's going to give here, because the deadline is September 15th. All right, so we'll see what becomes of TikTok. When we come back, what is going on at Netflix? You know what? I think this is a big deal. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. And welcome back to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio. Dow up 135 right now. NASDAQ, or S&P up 10. And the NASDAQ, which has been bouncing all over the place, right now is up 14 points. The NASDAQ remains very wobbly as it toys with its 50-day moving average for the first time in 6 months. You know, another axiom in the technical analysis business is the longer a trend is in place, the more significant it is when that trend is violated. And you've had that NASDAQ trading above the 50-day moving average now for 6 months. That's quite a long time. And so it wouldn't really be a positive for the NASDAQ, let's put it that way, to violate that 50-day moving average. So we are on watch here with our individual stocks here at Gunderson Capital Management. Okay, well, we're going to get to this. Oppenheimer weighs in on the prospects of a Biden victory. What would that mean for the market, according to Oppenheimer? But before we do that, the cancel Netflix effort swells after debut of controversial film Cuties. Well, I'm one that will be canceling my Netflix. They can go to hell, as far as I'm concerned. My wife and I have 6 children between us. 5 of those children are girls. We have 8 grandchildren. 5 of those grandchildren are girls. For Netflix to air this movie called Cuties, which exploits 12 and 13 and sexualizes them, to me, that they've crossed the line. They've crossed a big, big line. Our family has zero tolerance for that. The social hashtag #CancelNetflix has been gaining steam and has reached Twitter's top trending topics as the streaming giant faces heavy flack for its controversial film Cuties, which made its debut on the service yesterday. The French film, original title Mignonnes, was a Sundance favorite. That tells you the kind of people that are attending these movie festivals in 2019. But it has drawn heavy criticism from those saying it sexualizes young girls. The movie is about a Senegalese girl in Paris joining a dance clique to escape family troubles. Netflix had apologized last month for a promotional poster featuring its young cast dressed and posed provocatively. Well, they showed a little bit of the dance routine last night, and that's all I needed to see. I'm done with Netflix. It will be removed from all of our televisions. They can go to hell, as far as I'm concerned. I consider Jeffrey Epstein to be one of the biggest monsters that ever lived, and I think that this just plays into this and makes it seem like it's okay, and it's not okay. So there. Oppenheimer weighs prospects of Biden victory for industrial and resource names. Well, we've looked kind of at both sides now. The 2020 U.S. election, according to Oppenheimer, provides some opportunities around short-term sentiment for investors in industrial and capital goods and sustainable growth resource names. Well, I've been watching that. The solar stocks and the alternative energy stocks have been pretty perky recently, and they obviously would be beneficiaries of a Biden victory. On the other side of that coin, the energy patch, the oil stocks, would be a negative. They would get negative action from a Biden victory. With the impact coming not only from the outcome of the presidential race, but also control of the Senate, that's also very important. If Joe Biden were to be elected along with Kamala Harris and the Senate were to flip to Democrat, the results, according to Oppenheimer, would have far-reaching impacts on a number of policy-facing areas, including energy, electric/alternative vehicles, infrastructure, and corporate taxes. Yes, it would have a very big impact. That's what I've been talking about. The 20% fluff that came into the market from the corporate tax cut, that fluff would come out of the market, 20% on undoing those corporate tax cuts. And it would also, according to Oppenheimer, have a big influence on manufacturing. Oppenheimer goes on to say, it's hard to measure the impact on clean energy stocks from an election, the firm says. In fact, outcomes of prior elections are inconclusive. But, you know, I've just seen these clean energy stocks, the solar, the wind, they are doing very, very well right now. And I think that they would be big beneficiaries of a Biden win. But Joe Biden's $2 trillion clean energy plan includes support to extend solar and wind tax credits. And there's potential with the Democratic Congress for five-year extensions or even cash grants rather than credits that could boost solar from 6 to 10% IRRs, internal rate of return, benefiting all players. So, yeah, some of the players, Sunrun, Enphase, SolarEdge, Canadian Solar, Next Era, Clearway, SunPower, First Solar, all of these stocks have been in play to the upside here recently. I do have a sector in my app called Alternative Energy, and you can see who the leading stocks are there. A Biden EPA would likely reinstate or even strengthen Obama-era fuel economy standards. This would help companies like Tesla, Workhorse, BorgWarner, Cummins Engines, Dana, and Delphi Technology. Oppenheimer goes on to say that infrastructure stocks could benefit from a Biden win, such as Caterpillar, Cummins, Dana, Enersys, and Trimble Navigation. So anyways, that's a look. Oppenheimer says Biden's approach to raise corporate taxes, reward reshoring, and penalize offshoring means most of its covered companies could see a 7 to 10% cut to fiscal 21 EPS. I see more of a 15 to 20% cut to fiscal EPS. Okay, so there's another big firm weighing in, Oppenheimer. They're not predicting a winner. They're just going through who they think the winners and losers would be under a Biden presidency. Record low mortgage rates. 2.86. 2.86 on the 30-year mortgage, and yet Century 21 joins the retail graveyard with a bankruptcy filing. That kind of surprises me. It really does. In the meantime, a big apartment REIT, Avalon Bay, collected 95% of its average monthly residential rent during the last month. So there doesn't seem to be a big problem there, at least as of now, of people not paying their rent. AstraZeneca vaccine back on track. Well, not back, but it's on track for a 2020 filing. Okay, that's surprising to me. The CEO of AstraZeneca, they had to halt their Phase 3 trials because of one person here recently. And we thought maybe that would put the final submission to the FDA off until next year. But look what's happening. They say, no, we will have a COVID-19 vaccine ready by the end of the year. Now, whether it's approved or not, that's another issue. But that's pretty good news there from AstraZeneca, AZN. How about lumber futures? They're flying. People are leaving the big city for the suburbs. They're adding on. They're remodeling. They're building homes. Lumber futures jumped to an all-time high today. Go long lumber. Believe it or not, there are several ETFs. Timber is one. Cut is another one. There's some lumber real estate investment trust. And, of course, there's a lot of building supply companies that sell lumber that are also doing very well. Okay, the short sellers are at it. Two yesterday, Hindenburg. You know what? I don't like these short sellers. Hindenburg writes for Seeking Alpha. He may have been kicked off. I don't know. I couldn't find him today on Seeking Alpha. He slammed Nikola yesterday. You know, you got to be careful because Nikola says they're coming after Hindenburg with their attorneys, but Nikola got slammed, the stock did, because of a Hindenburg hit piece. All right, when we come back, our featured stock this of the day. Bill-
you got to go the way you want to go.
And welcome back to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio. Boy, the market's got some lift under it now. I said expect volatility today. We're getting it. The Dow is up 256 right now, and the NASDAQ is up 80, and the S&P is up 25 right now. Wow. We've got the volatility today in the market. Thankfully, it is to the upside, and thankfully that NASDAQ is holding its 50-day moving average so far. Well, we've been busy here at our firm. A lot of new money coming in. I put it to work. Most people transfer their portfolios to us in kind. Whatever they own now, they transfer, and then I take over from there. Start putting their stocks that they own on my daily watch list, and I get rid of the weeds. Sometimes I'll see a big worm there eating their tomato vines in the portfolio. I got to cut that out immediately. A lot of times there's a lot of dead wood. A lot of dead wood that needs to be trimmed and pruned like a fruit tree. Every once in a while you got to cut it back. You got to prune it. You got to go down into the roots. That's sometimes, a lot of times, what a portfolio needs. And Edie will be your first contact with the firm if you request any information from us. Edie sets the appointments. We have a great back office. Sandy does the new account forms, get you all straight. It's really not that big of a deal. You know, I hate paperwork myself. I hate it. But it's not like opening getting a mortgage and filling out 97 things that you got to sign and initial everything. I hate it. I absolutely hate it. But with DocuSign nowadays, it's pretty easy. It's all done. We don't have to mail anything. It's all done virtually. So Sandy and Edie back they're in Scottsdale. My back office is in Scottsdale, Arizona, one of my favorite places. And say hi to Edie and Sandy. They will take good care of you. And, of course, if you want to talk to one of our advisors, Paul and Barry, they're out here on the East Coast with me. You can talk. Edie will set up an appointment with you. And pretty much they leave me alone to manage the money and guide the fishing trips through the market on a daily basis. Boy, the fishing's getting really good. I mean, September, October, November in Charleston. Come on back. I'll take you out in the afternoon after the market closes. It's getting really, really good right now. And I'm loving it. All right, what are we going to do for our featured stock of the day? There's a lot that I could. I see there's a positive note out on Roku. Roku has been doing much better here recently. And we actually own Roku again in our emerging growth portfolio. In the emerging growth portfolio, Roku has been pretty strong here recently. I've got a stock up 13% today. I've got another one up 8%. I've got one up 5%. Let's go with the one that's up 13% so far today. I kind of like that. I'll warn you, it's a Chinese stock. Well, I do buy Chinese stocks. They're trying to they've offered, hey, come do the accounting. Do the audit on us. And they will have to have reports that are our standards of accounting. One stock that I do own, and it's in the alternative energy business, the solar industry, is Daqo New Energy, DQ. Not Dairy Queen, DQ. You can't get a blizzard here. It's a China-based company that manufactures and sells polysilicon to photovoltaic product manufacturers. You got to have polysilicon. I like companies that are growing. The last two quarters, the earnings at Daqo, DQ, have been accelerating. We just had a quarter that was reported, earnings up 244% in the most recent quarter. The quarter before that, 262%. That's my kind of earnings growth. Sales growth up 102% and 108%. Momentum on a scale of 1 to 99 is a 96. It's an A-plus on the Best Stocks Now app. It's a $1.5 billion company. Therefore, I own it in my emerging growth portfolio. That's my double-A baseball team. It's not even triple-A. It's not the major leagues yet. It's double-A. That's where I have a lot of hot prospects. We've nailed a lot of big winners in that portfolio, but it's volatile. Daqo is expected to make $15 per share next year. That would be up from $10 this year, which would be a 218% increase over last year. So the valuation is also quite low on the stock. It's currently ranked in the app. The stock has been a little bit weak here recently. That's probably taken its ranking down. Yeah, when I bought it, it was closer to about 400 was the rank. Yeah, maybe it was in the top 300 when I bought it. But I like the stock currently from both a valuation and from a momentum performance point of view. DQ, Daqo New Energy. Okay, well, we're getting ready to start a new weekend. I am well into the newsletter for tomorrow. We'll be watching that NASDAQ very, very closely. We'll be watching valuations very, very closely. We'll be watching the upcoming presidential election very, very closely because it will have a major impact on the market and sectors within the market. And as always, I'm always on the lookout for the next best thing, the best new stock now out there with technology that is disruptive, because you want to own the disruptor, not the disrupted. A lot of great stocks still in the market today. We'll point you in the right direction. GundersonCapital.com or 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.